Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
All right, folks, it's time now for your favorite Lunchtime Doctor program. Good afternoon to you. My name is Bass, and welcome to, of course, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. When we present to you, of course, Dr. Safia Mohammed, welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon to all those that are tuned in and anxiously waiting to send in your questions. I'm Dr. Safia Mohammed, here for your Lunchtime Doctor program, where you get to send in your medical questions. We dissect, we get to the depth of these problems, and also we want to hear what health challenges are you having. During the course of this program, you can WhatsApp your concerns, you can send in, or you can call those numbers. Base are going to give you those numbers. And we also want to know what's on your lunchtime plate. For those who are driving and not able to eat, let us know what you're snacking on as well, especially if you're one of our many non-communicable patients, disease patients. So over to you, Base, for you to share those numbers.
Of course, friends, our numbers are 6273-223. That's 6273-223. Of course, 6252257. And our WhatsApp numbers for your messages only. WhatsApp messages 3061065. Of course, feel free to message any of our other networks and they will forward the questions to us right here. We have some calls coming in already, Doctor.
Sure, let's grab them. In fact, I was getting messages. People are anxiously awaiting the program.
All right. Let's go. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
All right.
How are you?
Good man, good man. Go ahead, you over to your question for the doctor.
Okay. Last week, Monday, your first caller called in to say to the population that he had overturned glaucoma. I don't know if he's listening. If he's listening, I will leave my number with you now, 798-9323, for me to have a little talk with him, if it's possible, please.
Okay, so
sure, no problem. So let's talk. What do you have a question about glaucoma?
I have
in particular?
Glaucoma right now.
Right. Now,
right,
to all those.
He had called to say that he had reversed it now. And he
right.
was happy with his results. So I just called him to find out if he could probably call him back if he's listening. At 798-9323.
Sure, no problem. Now, let's talk a little bit about glaucoma to all those who are tuned in. It's not necessarily possible to reverse, but it's definitely possible to control the symptoms. And I remember the caller, what he talked about is that he consistently have been applying certain measures. He's been using those eye drops. He's maintaining his intraocular pressures with, of course, the use of the eye drops, and of course maintaining the systemic blood pressure. So if one has hypertension, you want to manage that tightly. Now, glaucoma is one of those concerns that we call the silent thief of the night. So, caller, I hear your concern. I want you to continue with your healthcare professional, be it in the public sector or in the private sector. If you are placed on drops, make sure you have a comprehensive eye examination and you continue the usage of those specific eye drops. Believe me, you will get to a better control. I've had many patients, especially with glaucoma, once they have identified, they stay consistent, they continue their repeated exams, so we know how the stages are moving. And of course, you take those lifestyle habits into play. So caller, I want you to be reassured you can manage your symptoms. And I hope you take this advice to heart. Over to you, Bass.
Okay, let's get another call here. 6273-223, 625-2257, and 3061065. Once again, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor for all your medical questions. Good afternoon, Doctor. Can you talk about ACV? Can it be taken raw, or are there any side effects to the stomach?
Right. So the ACV, first and foremost, to those who are not too sure, that's apple cider vinegar. And yes, we did mention the apple cider vinegar once on the program. There is a host of health benefits, but it must be used in moderation, right? Yes, you can have, if you do have GERD or any sort of ulceration, you want to manage that. You want to make sure you dilute it properly. So it's literally a very small amount that you're having. You can have it just before meals. In fact, we've been even getting calls about if apple cider vinegar can indeed even curb appetite, reduce one's body mass index by reducing the amount of fat, helping them burn fat. There is indeed some scientific data to support it, but not enough. What we do know is that there's a host of benefits from using your apple cider vinegar when it comes to the metabolism, when it comes to aiding digestion, and of course, when it comes to just ensuring that your overall wellness is indeed maintained. Keep in mind, there's no magic bullet for when it comes to weight loss. It's a host of things. You can't be, say, using your ACV, the apple cider vinegar, and then, of course, you are eating things excessively. Now, with apple cider vinegar, those who are already on specific medications like your diuretics, those who want insulin, I want you all to keep this in mind. Apple cider vinegar can actually lower the body's potassium levels, because this apple cider vinegar is highly acidic. So you want to make sure, again, in moderation, and it's well diluted according to what's recommended on the bottle. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get another call here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, Doctor.
Good afternoon to the panel. Doctor, my wife is 59 years of age, hypertension, high cholesterol. The work she does is like a church, so she stands up most of the day. But her foot don't swell when she's standing, her foot swells. When she come on that evening, she said relaxing, her foot swells. I wonder what could be done for that and what could cause that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for letting me know that. To all those who see that swelling at their ankle, that is indeed a very serious complication of having hypertension. So it tends to be one of our more severe complications where there's some sort of peripheral neuropathy, or what we call, there's some sort of peripheral arterial disease. There may be that accumulation of fluid around the ankle, and the body, the certain the static forces within the arteries, within the veins, are not strong enough to propel that fluid back up to the heart, and there's pooling. So you mentioned her job position. She may be sitting a lot or she may be standing. So there is that pooling of fluid at the ankle. Now, what you may hear in the clinics a lot, people declare they have a circulation problem. Yes, it is indeed circulation, but the proper terminology for it is indeed peripheral artery disease. And yes, there is indeed treatments. Treatments start with medications. Treatments start with certain lifestyle measures. We talk about them all the time. Exercise is so important. Getting that exercise stimulates that blood flow throughout the body. With the peripheral arterial disease, however, there's specific medications like diuretics, a few others, that can indeed help move that fluid out of your body and through the body. So different types of medications. If your wife in the evening time, or even during the course of the day, she can do certain exercises, just what we call tippy toes or mashing breaks. It's very easy to think about it, where they're just exercising at the ankle and causing some sort of movement at the ankle. That helps any sort of pooling. Simple massages, even elevating the legs if she can. Probably when she reaches at home, there may be the opportunity to elevate the legs. All of that will reduce the fluid. But let's go to the to really deep dive with it. Please present to the health center, present to the healthcare professional. There are modalities of treatment that we can indeed employ to reduce that ankle pressure and buildup of fluid around the ankle there. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks. Once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Safiya Mohammed. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, a pleasant. Good afternoon. I would like to ask Doctor 3 questions.
All right.
I did my blood test, right? When it came back, it's reading my creatinine level is low, is 0.65. And what it's in the range is 1.50, right? Then my urea nitrogen is high. And I don't know what is MON. They say that is high as well. The EOS is high and the NEU is low.
Okay.
So I don't know if the doctor can advise me on that.
So sure. Can you stay on the line?
Yes, I will.
What would have been the reason why, like what symptoms did you present with that led you to this particular renal function test?
What happened? I suffer with underactive thyroid.
Right, I thought so. Right. So let's just jump in right away. So a person with thyroid disease, and in this case, she mentioned underactive, there's hypothyroidism that will definitely affect the kidney function. Now, I don't know how long you've had the hypothyroidism. If you're on any sort of medications, this, however, it is indeed manageable by specific measures. The next time you go to the health center or you go to your healthcare professional, let them know, present with the values. But here's what you also need to be mindful of. I want you to take a little look, and yes, we're going to talk about what we passes out of the body, the urine. We need to know how frequent, how many times you're going into the washroom, both during the day and even during the night. We need to know if there's any froth, if there's any sort of change in the color, if it's darker or if it's clearer. And most importantly, we need to know if there's blood. It's clear that the kidney is also being affected. The host of kidney enzymes, and those are the values that you mentioned, are some of the kidney enzymes. And of course, the kidney markers are not within the normal ranges. However, that is very treatable. Based on what you are presenting with, based on if there's any other associated non-communicable diseases, there are the next steps to consider. Your doctor might consider with you or might discuss with you the possibility of dialysis. That, however, tends to be last stage treatment if medications won't work. Right. I don't want to describe the medications right now over the phone to you because I haven't taken the time to do the full holistic examination and, of course, further questioning. Typically, in my clinic, we would take a full 15, 20 minutes to do an overarching physical examination and history, and that would give us a better idea.
Could you give me a number for your clinic? I would attend because I'm seeing Dr. Tina Singh. And he who is managing my thyroid problems, so because I'm on
as I would have mentioned to previous callers, at present we're not giving out that clinic number simply because it's really overwhelmed.
And oh, yes, soon I remember. I hear you saying that. Yes.
As soon as we're able to clear a little bit of a backlog, and we're working towards that, there's still a number of COVID, post-COVID, long COVID patients, and I wouldn't want to compromise the care of any other patient.
Okay,
so
no
please
problem.
Continue.
So I could see, so I could present this to Dr. Tilak Singh. Because he is the one that's seeing about my thyroid situation.
Yeah, and he will certainly guide that process, right? We have a number of established, well-qualified senior professionals, senior healthcare professionals. Dr. Tilak Singh is one of them, right?
Because I have a problem that I always have a heat inside of me. And once he had recommended that I pass urine, and it went up to England for testing.
Right.
And when it came back, it didn't show anything. And he said, well, he glad because he didn't know what to do. He
no problem.
Openly told me that.
I appreciate that feedback. But here's what we want to jump in to let you know. And this is to all patient, all persons who are listened and tuned in, any sort of health concern, I want you all to become very self-aware. COVID really brought this into the forefront. But when I say self-aware, note the changes in your body. If you are changes in appetite, if changes in vision, changes in pain, changes in your bodily function. And when I say note it, get a little notebook, write it down, because here's what happens when you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor and your mind literally freezes. I have patients come in and they're like, "Doc, I was experiencing this and that, and then I can't remember. So note it, write it down, write the date, write what you're experiencing, see if you change something. Those factors will help us, the medical care professionals, make or reach that diagnosis a lot quicker. I hope that answers your question, my dear, and I sincerely hope these symptoms resolve. Nice. Over
good
to you, Beast.
Good advice there, doctor, because basically what a doctor does is basically the process of elimination. So the more information you have will be the better, right?
Definitely. Well said.
Nice. All right, here's another question here. Hi, Doc. Good afternoon. Just curious hearing about ashwagandha, right? Ashwagandha. Need to hear your thoughts, please.
Right. So again, those are some of the herbal medications. It is one of those that are grown in India, Middle Eastern. There are some health benefits for your ashwagandha. I may not be pronouncing that correctly, so please forgive me if I pronounced it out of the usual. What I will say, people ask a lot if it's okay to take the ashwagandha every day. What's most important is if you're on any other medications, you're taking that. Please don't allow these herbal medications to become a substitute for your normal medications. Yes, the ashwagandha is available as a tablet sometimes. There are some certain health benefits, but it's not well studied. What it has been prescribed for patients who may be experiencing the perimenopausal symptoms. However, I would like for you to rather, I haven't really done sufficient research to be able to give that opinion on this Ayurvedic type medicine. I will actually do that research and probably return to you with a better, more summarized answer tomorrow on the program.
Okay, folks, once again, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor 1226. Another question here. I am 41 with an armpit odor. I changed deodorant and diet. The odor is still there. Please help me.
Right. So that may be several things. And that's okay. I'm happy that you're aware of the odor. First and foremost, we want to look at your hydration status. Clearly, there may be some possibility of lymph nodes in being involved. And there could be some blockage. Definitely, please go get it checked out. Any sort of changes in your body, as we mentioned before, needs to be checked. What I'd also want you to check is to see if there's any changes, not only in the odor, but in the skin texture. If there's any darkening, especially under the armpits, patients with diabetes do present with something called, right? They have the darkening of the skin just behind the neck and under the armpits. And that is called I'll bring up that name right away, Acanthos nigricans. Persons will see that even in polycystic ovarian syndrome or if they're diagnosed as diabetes. So please get it checked out. It may be a sign for something more sinister.
All right, folks, once again, our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257. Our WhatsApp number for your WhatsApp messages only, 3061065. And please feel free to message our other frequencies, and they will forward those messages to us. Let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon. All right, we lost that person there. Let's get a call here. Hello, doctor. Could you repeat the management of glaucoma, please? Glaucoma?
Certainly. Right. Now, we do have a number of patients with glaucoma. So here's the mainstay of management. The mainstay of management starts with a comprehensive visual exam. We need to get the eyes checked. We not only need to get the eyes checked, we need to get to have a better understanding of the intraocular pressures. Once we know what that intraocular pressure is, we know your visual acuity, and of course, just the entire eye is indeed reviewed, then your ophthalmologist, not your GP. For glaucoma, you certainly need to be seeing an ophthalmologist. Either it's in the public sector or the private sector. And right afterwards, I'll mention free screening exams with Diabetes Association. But you must have that proper check. Once we know the value of the intraocular pressure, that's the pressure within the eyes, the vitreous humor in particular, we'll be able to administer specific eye drops. The different types of eye drops. If one has a systemic high blood pressure, that's the body. If the body has a high blood pressure as well, you'll also have those medications. It's crucially important that you also be mindful of lifestyle habits. If one is smoking, that can elevate your intraocular pressures. So if you are smoking, let's look to see if you can reduce that. If you also have any sort of cardiovascular disease, let's make sure we stay consistent with the medication and you introduce some level of exercise, you watch your diet, reduce the salt. So it's a combination of lifestyle measures and, of course, normal medical therapeutics. Stay consistent with it. Stay consistent with your appointments, and you can properly manage your glaucoma. Hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you, there, doctor. Once again, 6273223, 6252257. The lunchtime, doctor. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. Good afternoon, Adrian.
Good afternoon.
My question is, I'm 60 years of age and I have a chronic cough. It affects me a lot during the night until it reached the point that I literally choke. So that means I experience SOB. I have a buildup of mucus as well.
Thank you so much. So let me just explain some of those terms that you would have mentioned there to all of our listeners. SOB is shortness of breath. Anyone that presents with this chronic cough, especially in the night, the first thing that comes to mind is a post-nasal dripper. I don't know if you have a history of any sort of allergic component, if there's any sort of atopic eczema on your skin, but it's certainly that it may be an allergic component or this post-nasal dripper. There are a couple other things that one get checked between the air, nose, and throat system. So I'll suggest to you that you present, not necessarily to a GP, present to your a little bit more specialized. If you need to get a referral, then yes, you go through your general practitioner, but you'll certainly need to see an ear, nose, and throat specialist. Once you've been reviewed by them, because you're having this constant cough, and it sounds very much like that post-nasal drip. However, we have also seen that post-COVID, there's something called LONG, long COVID, where persons, while they've cleared COVID, their test is negative, they still are coughing excessively. It may be a dry cough, more so in the nighttime. It's worsened if the area is not well humidified. So what I would suggest to you from tonight, let's start with humidifying your room. And what do we mean by that? If your air condition have the option to add in the humidifier, then do that. You can even get a single unit humidifier, which is you can purchase in just about all those different pharmacies, where it's a small little unit that humidifies the room. What do we mean by humidifying the room? We mean adding some level of moisture to the room. Why is that important? What happens, especially when you go to sleep, if the room is dry, then all of the nasal pathways absorbs or inhales this dry air, and certain receptors along the pathway becomes activated. The cough is actually a protective mechanism of the body to get the receptors, to get the pathway you know, moisturized or lubricated with the normal secretions of the body. If there is indeed that level of humidification in the room, then that will reduce that stimulus, reduce the coughing, and of course, reduce the need or that trigger that you're having. Hope that answers the question. Bottom line, please get it checked out.
All right. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome to your lunchtime, doctor.
Hi, good day. I'm actually calling concerning my daughter because she's been vomiting regularly, like every couple 2 weeks she would vomit. And when I carry her to the hello?
Yes, we're hearing you.
Right, when I carry her to the doctor, her blood cells are her white blood cells are high, and they say that's because it's fighting the the sickness in her body. So I'm trying to figure out if you have any idea what that could be.
Right. Now, there's not enough information for me to have a definitive diagnosis. That's okay. Let's go through a few things that you need to know. In addition to that vomiting, I don't know if you picked up any little gut bacteria. It does sound like it could be a little gastroenteritis, but you're also talking about it, that it's happening repeatedly. We may need to do an additional blood test, not just what we would have happened, which is your complete blood count. We may need to go a little bit deeper, do a renal or a kidney function test. And we may also need to check and see if there's any additional infectious layer. So something called the CRP or the ESR. I'm not sure if she's experiencing any abdominal type symptoms or gastrointestinal symptoms or what associated factors she's experiencing, but I'm pretty certain that there are. You see, the thing about vomiting, it's one of those symptoms that we say is a non-specific symptom. You see vomiting in just about every possible syndrome that can present with, so it can be a host of things. So we really need to go a little bit deeper and of course get to the bottom of it. What I suggest, you said you took her to the doctor. Yes, if you need to go back again, please go back again. Monitor as well what she's eating. Sometimes the foods that we eat can react differently with our stomach, and that may exacerbate the vomiting. Another very important thing I want you to be mindful of. Children, especially at that age, can have what we call a somatization. They may be experiencing anxiety. They may be troubled. They may be going through depressive episodes. But the body somatizes, so presents with a symptom, and it presents in this autonomic type way as vomiting. So if you all can, the parents can, sit down. You don't necessarily need to ask, is something bothering you? Sit down and start a conversation. You tell her some things about what's going on. The mom could also be part of the conversation. What's going on with, say, you all per se, and then move into a symptom that you're experiencing or the vomiting. Right. Let me give you all a next example. Right now, a lot of parents are preparing for this SEA exam. The number of parents that have been calling my phone directly or clinic, sharing about the anxieties their children are experiencing. My son is one that's actually writing the exam as well. And just this weekend, I sat with him and I started telling him that I was feeling a little anxious about some work I had to do. So I started telling him that angle. And then I moved into, as I can preparing for the exam, how are you feeling? So he felt that space of comfort that he could open up about something. Sometimes we have to be a little transparent, a little bit open with our children, and then you'll see how they open up.
Right, yeah. She does have abdominal pains also with the vomiting, but they recommend that she carry her to a gastrologist. So that's the next
step. Definitely. So any sort of associated pains, then it needs further investigation. So I'm glad you already booked that appointment. I do hope it resolves. Let us know what is indeed the definite concern.
Okay, no problem. Thanks.
Thank you there very much, sir. Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 and Vibe City 105 FM. The Lunchtime Doctor, of course, Dr. Safia Mohammed, here to answer all of your questions. WhatsApp 306-1065. Of course, our phone numbers are 625-2257 and 627-3223. Questions here. Good day, doctor. Is it safe to take a steroid injection in the spine for severe sciatic pain? If so, can you recommend, please?
So yes, definitely, that is a safe measure, but let it be done, performed by a healthcare professional. First and foremost, with sciatica, you want to be properly reviewed. You want to have a neuromuscular evaluation. Of course, any sort of medications, especially when we talk about steroids, we must be mindful of if you're on any other medications, if there's any other associated disease process, autoimmune in particular. Steroids can interact with just about everything. So we do it with some level of risk evaluation. Hope that answers your question.
Good day, doctor. I have PCOS and take T2D. I was just confirmed on an ultrasound and a beta HCG test as 4 weeks pregnant for the first time ever. How can I avoid a miscarriage? I heard T2D puts a person at risk. I'm currently on 1,000 milligrams metformin a day. That's 1,000 grams. They changed it and said after.
Yes, yeah, no problem. Right. Thank you so much for being so detailed. So congratulations that your beta HCG, that is the pregnancy test, has confirmed that you're pregnant. Most persons who have polycystic ovarian syndrome, they tend to be on the metformin, and you're on a quite a high value there. In order to manage the polycystic ovarian syndrome, that's your PCOS, and of course to get pregnant. So I hope that is something you are planning for. Right away, you need to see your obstetrician, or you return to the clinic and they will do a referral for you for the obstetrician. The medications need to be adjusting like right away for a pregnancy, because now, prior to the pregnancy, what we would have been treating is PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now there's an additional layer, and of course there's an additional being that we need to be mindful of. So please, as a matter of urgency, make that appointment, be it at your health center. If it's one thing that I can really say functions well, hey, is all of our antenatal clinics here in Trinidad. Please present to the health center and get screened. Let them review those medications in particular. They may need to make some adjustments now that you are indeed pregnant.
She's also saying that the doctor did tell her to continue the 1,000 grams.
Well, the right. 1,000 grams. Now, I'm glad you said that, but I want to make sure it's an obstetric doctor that sat and reviewed everything. And when we say an obstetric doctor, the obstetrician, that person is one who will take the pregnancy to delivery. I'm glad that they would have reviewed. I just want to make sure that is that particular doctor. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Yeah, good morning, Miss and Doc.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Hi, cool man.
Well, I recently have been diagnosed with trimineral neuralgia.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that? That's it, right?
Of course. Yes, trigeminal.
Yeah, trigeminal neuralgia.
Neuralgia, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well, I want to know what is the next step for that, because in Mount Hope, there's 3-4 years the clinic.
Yes.
But the clinic is next 4 to 6 months. So they don't know what's causing the nerve pain, but they diagnosed me that is the problem. And they gave me some painkillers for now. But I wanted to know what is the next step or who I can go to again to find out what is the problem, what causes it, proper treatment, et cetera, go, and things like that.
Right. So thanks so much. And I'm glad you brought that into the forefront. Trigeminal neuralgia is not something we see as often in the clinic. And I'm really sorry you have to wait 4 to 6 months. That is quite frustrating. If you can access private medical care, I would highly recommend that. Now, to all those who are tuned in, that is indeed a nerve-related pain. So the caller would have gone through a specific neurological exam, or it may have even been diagnosed by a CT or MRI. There tends to be facial pain. There tends to be loss of certain muscular functioning, or even his speech may be affected by trigeminal neuralgia. And that's why treatment is so important. Treatment is based on what the patient presents with, and of course treatment is directly related to not just what the patient presents with, if there's any other associated non-communicable diseases. One that we're very concerned about is if the patient has a history of seizures, because right away we'd want to start some sort of anticonvulsants and anti-seizure medication. I'm sure, and I do hope, they would have put you on a muscle relaxant. Yes, there are quite a few, but I wouldn't want to mention the names. Any sort of muscle relaxant helps reduce that overarching pain. Now, when we come to treatment, treatment can be both medical and, of course, then surgical in nature. You can see the neurologist or the neurosurgeon, and they actually go in to do something called microvascular decompressions. It is indeed a day surgery. It takes a little bit of a consultation, obviously, and it's based on the level, the staging, sorry, and the severity of the presentation. I suggest highly, don't wait that 4 to 6 months, because that's going to really, you're going to continue with the pain, and it may worsen. So if you can present to your a private healthcare professional and start some level of treatment right away. Hope this has been useful.
All right, doctor. But for many folks who get like a diagnosis and they have to wait till like 4-6 months, like the gentleman said, you know, to do treatment, and you know, they may not have that money to go to the private. What do you suggest they do?
Go back to the ER or go back to the health center. Honestly, if you can, I know it will be a little frustrating, return to the emergency medicine room, return to the health center. There are indeed a number of GPs that are accessible with their cost. At least return to some level of medical care.
All right. Okay. Hi, doctor. Good afternoon. What can cause a 16-year-old not to urinate? He only goes like once for the day, and he drinks over 2 liters of water.
So right away, that needs to be checked, because input must equal output. And one time a day is definitely not normal. There's certainly some level of blockage somewhere, and that needs to be evaluated. A 16-year-old will normally have possibly 8, 9, 10 times per day, especially knowing that he has a good hydration status.
All right, doctor, I'm 48 years old, and today makes it 14 days. 14, I guess they have not seen their period. I have no pain, just heavy flow. Thanks, doctor. I missed you on Wednesday.
I missed you all on Wednesday as well. I forgot to mention, I'm here, and when you don't hear from me, I may have mentioned that my son is writing SEA. 9 more days before this exam. We have a couple things to put in place, so I missed every single one of you all. With respect to what you mentioned there, I got two sets of messages. One, that there is continuous flow, and then if there is a missed period for 14 days. At this age, there is the possibility of the perimenopausal time setting in. So if you've missed your period, don't be alarmed. You may be entering that time frame. If it's the converse, where you're having a period for more than 14 days, then that is not something that I'm comfortable with. There are many different gynecological conditions that will present with this excessive level of bleeding. Normal cycle is 3 to 5 days. 14 days means that you are now predisposed to anemia, as in a low blood count. It may be because of fibroids. It may be because of a number of other new gynecological conditions. So please get that checked out.
All right. Good afternoon, doctor. What are the chances of someone with bone marrow cancer and leukemia of the blood at stage 4?
Okay, so anyone with bone marrow cancer, we certainly know that's one of the more sinister type cancers. Stage 4 means it's quite progressed, and it may involve not just the bone, but other organs. I would suggest that that's a conversation, because I don't have all of the information in front of me, but those risk factors, that prognostic factor is directly related to the type of treatment that you're already on. And of course, if there is, and I'm not too sure, and I don't want to be negative about it, if there is the opportunity for bone marrow surgery or bone marrow replacement, or what sorts of radiotherapy the patient may be on. So for me to be able to see what the chances, I'd need to know definitely that information in terms of treatment, in terms of how long, how many years, and then of course, where are they on bone marrow surgery? We do know that particular surgery is not one that happens quite often, because it's so difficult to find a match. And that's where the chances now become reduced. I would continue to advise that you have the conversation with the oncologist and possibly even a palliative care surgeon based on what you just shared. Now, I really don't know the extent, but any stage 4 patient, definitely that prognosis tends to be much less, so reduced, as compared to, say, a stage 1. I don't want to be the one to say 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 1 year, because here's the thing. I've seen patients that a time limit is given, but because of different measures, because of change in treatments, because of even holistic measures, I've seen patients at stage 4 manage their stress better and they reverse some of their chances. So allow yourself to have the opportunity to be reviewed by your oncologist, get your second opinion, make sure you're also looking at your lifestyle measures, and all of that together will give you your level of chances.
Right. Question here. Good afternoon, doctor. Can obesity cause short breath?
Most definitely. What happens in that case, depending on the BMI, not only are you compromising the fat pads around the vocal cords and the trachea, you're also compromising the lung structure. So obesity, there's a deposition of fat around the breathing canals or the respiratory system. Actually, for those who would know, we actually check the neck size when we're doing all of our measurements. We not only check the circumference of the abdomen, we check the neck circumference as well, and that's because there can be that deposition. So yes, obesity can lead to a shortness of breath. Hope that answers the question.
Yes, we're just about 9 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. 627-3223-625-2257 and your WhatsApp messages 306-1065. Good afternoon, doctor. I recently had my gallbladder removed, however I had no stones but very severe pain. Also, I had a blood infection and was treated with a course of antibiotics after my surgery. Please let me know what would have caused this. Thank you very much.
Okay, so anyone who's had gallbladder surgery, that little medical term is cholelithiasis, and the removal of those gallstones, definitely we need to put you on some antibiotics. Any surgical process, we always cover the patient to prevent any further complications of sepsis. I'm glad that you are indeed being followed up. That abdominal pain is normal, actually, but if it persists more than 6 weeks after the surgery, please return to your healthcare professional and get it checked out. We're coming down to the last couple of minutes of the program, and I did share in the earlier part of the program that I will share to you about the Diabetic Association and where you can indeed be checked, as in terms of a free eye screening. So very simple. You call our Diabetes Association Trinidad and Tobago, 607-3288. Once you are indeed a member of the association, you can access the free diabetes eye screening on March 28, we'll be in San Fernando, Gulf City Mall, ground floor. And for those in the east side, on the 31st, we'll be at the Arima Old Hospital, the Lifestyle Clinic. On the 24th, there is indeed a screening on Incuva. I will suggest you can either get more information on the Facebook page of the Diabetic Association of Trinidad and Tobago. You can call the number 607-3288. This is an outreach of the Diabetic Association. It's a free outreach. All the patients, they are not paying for this screening. This is us giving back to our population.
All right, let's take a call here. Good afternoon. Hello. Oh, seem to have lost that one. Of course, 627-3223-625-2257. We return to the WhatsApp. Oh, let's take the call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. I have a question for the doctor, right? Hello?
Yes,
yes, we're hearing you.
Okay. Good afternoon, doctor. I am in my 70s, right? A couple of months ago, I had a neck pain, right? And it was left side of the neck, and it's cramping. I visited the health center. They told me it's a crisis. No need to go for no X-ray. I was given Panadol. The pain is still there. So I don't know if you could give me some advice on what to do. It's not the pressure. Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you. So
yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Right?
Okay, no problem.
Okay, that
right.
was a couple of months ago. Last month
no
I
problem.
Visited the clinic in Mount Hope.
Right.
I discussed it with the doctor. He gave me a lot of people for X-ray. That is 6 months appointment, I guess. So,
right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Really afford
yeah. Right. But thanks so much, caller, for sharing all of that. I understand that at present you're experiencing this discomfort, and I feel it is palpable. If the doctor gave that request for certain tests, they definitely will need that information before they move forward with any sort of treatment. If you want to be able to have, you want to do treatment right away, of course, we need to get a better understanding of what the problem is. You see, many times, and Bass actually mentioned it in the beginning, many times a patient may present with a non-specific symptom. Pain is one of those. Once certain things are ruled out, then we do these investigations. So bear with the level of investigations. In the meanwhile, when it comes to pain, you can have your over-the-counter medications, or I'm sure they may have prescribed something that will help at least palliate, ease that pain. So for now, just continue with the investigations, and I do hope you get to the bottom of this.
Good afternoon, doctor. I have sinus, but there's a white or creamy stuff coming out. Sometimes it smells bad. What's the name of it? Also, what's the best hormone tablets to take to conceive?
Okay, so as I mentioned before, we won't give the name of specific medications. Please see your healthcare professional. Let them do a proper review, and then they'll prescribe. Any sort of fluid that's coming out of your body that has an odor, that looks creamy, that looks abnormal, needs to be treated. That definitely sounds like some level of infection and some level of antibiotics is needed. So please present to the health center or present to your doctor and let's get that treatment. Why the treatment is important? Because based on where the fluid is coming out from, that particular area can have some level of infection. An infection infection is something that spreads throughout the body, and we don't want it to worsen. Hope that answers your question.
The Lunchtime Doctor, of course, Freedom 106.5 FM, Vibe City 105, Sangit 106.1 FM, and of course, Sky 99.5. We have just about 2 more minutes going. 627-3223, 625-2257. And we have lots of WhatsApp messages coming in, so we'll deal with that. Good afternoon, Doctor. Can you recommend where my wife and I can go to check for the possibilities for her getting pregnant? She is 51 and I'm 57. We have been trying for over 10 years and it is a costly process. Wow.
Yeah, it definitely is a costly process, especially at having been trying for 10 years. I want you to also consider, because I don't know where at the stage of the fertility process you are. There are a host of investigations. We do a host of investigations and then we do a host of treatment procedures. Even in vitro is quite a costly, but it is indeed available here in Trinidad. Outside of a normal pregnancy, there's always adoption. So there are a host of things to consider, especially now at that age of 51, the body is not in its most prime or what we say optimal state for delivery of a baby. Yes, you can happen. I'm not saying it won't happen, but there are other options to consider at this age. I hope that answers your question. It's a very detailed conversation, so please forgive this very brief answer. It's only because we're wrapping up, and I think we're almost out of time.
Yeah, definitely out of time, and that'll be it for today until tomorrow. Can you let us know what will be in tomorrow's Health Plus?
Oh, definitely. So please tune in tomorrow on CNC3 at about 7:30, 7:40. We're talking tomorrow is United Nations declared World Down Syndrome Day. Why are we commemorating? We're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about, for those parents out there, how to process that diagnosis, how to ensure you stay motivated as a parent to give your child the best possible care. There's also a World Down Syndrome conference happening for all parents, and that's happening during the course of the week. So all of that is in the Health Plus tomorrow. Join us on CNC3 Morning Brew for that first interaction. We'll discuss it more on our Lunchtime Doctor radio program right here on Freedom and all the other stations that we access. And of course, you'll see it in your Guardian Health Plus print pages.
All right. Thank you there very much, Doctor. The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Catch you tomorrow, same time. And of course, same stations, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Do have yourselves a blessed day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.